Hello and welcome to Shades and Layers with Kulkarni's Kosana Ritchie. Today we are talking passion, profit and impact with the founder of Helen Rose Skincare, Day Bib. Day is based in Portland, Oregon in the Pacific Northwest, where she not only has a store, but also runs a nonprofit for survivors of domestic violence called Om Thrive Foundation. There are multiple reasons why Day started her natural skincare company, including the desperation of a mother, a COVID-related shove into entrepreneurship, as well as a need for a steady source of funds to keep her nonprofit going. This conversation veers into discussions about finding alternatives, advocacy, injustice as a driver for change, balance, and self-love. Day's story is the perfect guide to moving from idea to implementation, realizing your true worth, and rising to the occasion. Let's start at the very beginning.
The reason why I started just even making products was because I could not find what I needed. Mm-hmm. My daughter had incredibly bad eczema to where she was like scratching her legs until they were bleeding. And I was just at the end of my rope trying to find remedies. I was buying expensive creams, taking her to the doctor. They want to put steroids on her. They want to give her this and that. So I just started doing my research as a mom. Mm-hmm. And I have really sensitive skin too. And I was already blending up, you know, like oils and stuff for myself. Mm-hmm. But as far as for her eczema, I just did a bunch of research and I found out that there was ingredients in some of the creams and butters and stuff that she was allergic to.
Right.
And so that is what, you know, motivated me, was just like the need of wanting to help my daughter.
Yeah.
And I also have a nonprofit organization. So we provide yoga and wellness services to survivors of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And it's very historically difficult to obtain funding as a Black-led organization, and especially as a Black woman-owned organization. Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible to get funding in your first 3 years. You almost guarantee you won't get grant funding unless you can demonstrate that you can raise money or capital or find some type of revenue stream.
Right.
And so I was all successful at getting individual donations, but as far as like a dedicated revenue stream, that was really difficult for me.
Right.
So I was like, well, I will start my own dedicated revenue stream. Because
hey,
I can't get one. I will create a company and donate a portion of all the profits to my organization.
Fantastic.
And be able to help people.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're a problem solver, basically.
I am a very creative problem solver. But I think that that's like part of like the Black woman DNA. Like, you just have to be. And then also as a mom, it's just like, I'm not going to watch my baby suffer. I mean, they could be uncomfortable, but as far as like suffering, that's not my habit. And if there's a way that I can calm, soothe, create a way for them to thrive, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But tell me about the actual business of Helen Rose. You know, what do you guys do? What makes it different from other skincare brands?
Okay, so I create skincare that is, it's vegan, it's all natural, but it also has an aromatherapy component to it. It's to soothe mood disruptions. So say you're feeling anxious one day, and you can choose a scent that goes with your anxious feelings. So like rose scent was the first scent that I created. Mm-hmm. Rose is incredibly calming to anxiety. It gives you a sense of grounding to your emotions. So like grounding would be like, if you're feeling out of control, it gives you a sense of like, everything is going to be okay and you can deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so I chose each scent based on something that it does for your mood. So like the lavender wild orange. Lavender, of course, is really calming and good for sleep support. Mm-hmm. But the wild orange in it is cleansing.
Right.
It helps cleanse out negative emotions so that you can receive the calming emotions. So, and I've always been into aromatherapy because I'm very sensitive to pain meds. I can't take pain medication. I'm allergic to opiates, and I'm just sensitive to, you know, traditional over-the-counter medication. So I've really been into alternative ways of soothing. So there's 9 different scents, mm-hmm. and each one was chosen with for a different type of property that it will give you. And one of the reasons why I also did the different scents is it's really, sometimes it's difficult to find a variety of scents when you're looking at natural skincare.
Right.
You'll see it. It'll see maybe 2 or 3 scents. And a lot of times it's not very obvious what that scent is until you purchase it. Because, it'll just have like a really vague name, like Midsummer Night's Dream or something like that. And I wanted it to be like very obvious what the scent would be just in the name. So the names
are
really simple.
Okay, so you name your products according mm-hmm. to the scent.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like bergamot peppermint.
Right.
And, lavender wild orange, so that people will understand. And then if you go on the site, it says, what that essential oil scent will mm-hmm. do for your mm-hmm. mood. And I made the base of my signature cream is made from cupuaçu oil, butter.
Right.
And it's from Brazil. So I don't use shea butter in that product because my daughter's allergic to tree nuts. And so she can't use shea butter.
Okay. She has
that's why I don't.
My son can't either.
Yeah. So she can't use that. And she can't use like sweet almond oil or mm-hmm. coconut oil mm-hmm. or anything that has like a nut derivative.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find alternative ingredients in order to be able to, and that's really difficult in the natural skincare world too. Because mm-hmm. most butters have a base of shea butter.
Yeah.
Or they have coconut oil in them, or they have. So I wanted to make a niche butter for people who have peanut allergies who can't, use other products, mm-hmm. but also integrate the aromatherapy component in there.
Yeah.
Mental health is very important to me.
Yeah. And why is that? Yeah. I wanted to find out what's the background to that.
So I'm a domestic violence survivor. And mm-hmm. so that is why I created my nonprofit organization in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so when you have trauma from, resulting from domestic violence, it affects your mental health for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it not only affects your mental health, but it affects the mental health of your support system. Mm-hmm. So your children, if you have children that that witnessed domestic violence, it will affect their mental health. Mm-hmm. And if you had a parent or a sibling that supported you or helped you through a situation, it will affect their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are it's always been, and I've suffered from anxiety and depression for the majority of my life. And I also have insomnia, but I'm so sensitive to taking medication that I can't take like sleep meds because I won't be able to wake up. I'll just be too groggy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find alternatives to cope.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an option for me to not find treatment. So I had to find alternative treatment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Create your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like as Black people and Black women, especially, we have this notion that, we're supposed to just be able to handle things and we're supposed to just be strong all the time.
Yeah.
And that is not healthy for us. We need to pay attention to our mental health and how that is affecting us physically, mm-hmm. because a lot of mental health manifestations can come out in your skin and
sure.
your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your body starts showing or actually reacting to everything else that's going on inside you. And speaking of your products, do you formulate them yourself? Do you work with a chemist? Mm-hmm. How are they produced?
So both of those things. So I formulate them myself based on research that I've done. So a lot of the research I did in collaboration with my suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
So I source only from, very small suppliers that I can actually speak to and get an understanding of the product.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started doing my research, I just created like a matrix of different butters and oils and ingredients and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just wanted to gain an understanding of if I'm going to create a product, I want to be, and someone asks me why I chose an ingredient, I want to be able to explain to them why I chose it.
Yep.
As I was working with my suppliers, there were oils and ingredients that I've never heard of before, but that had properties that I wanted in my skincare.
Mm.
And so I just asked questions. And I asked,
right, yeah.
You know, why is this, does this do this? What will happen if I mix this ingredient with this ingredient? And what's the difference between cold press and expeller press? What's the, you know, like, I just wanted to know what the difference is and what's the difference between a dry oil and an oil that has a mid absorption level. So I didn't want to put together a product without understanding the why.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I didn't go with like a packing company with with a company that already had a formula. I wanted my formula to be different, and I wanted to understand the ingredients for their individual properties, but also for what they do when they are put together.
Mm. And you say that the products are handmade?
Yeah, I make them here in my house.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
yeah.
All right. Hands-on operation.
Yeah. Yes, I make them here in my house.
Okay, so, yes, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you sell online, and where else is your product available?
So I have a brick and mortar store, and I'm open on the weekends. And every Saturday, we also have other BIPOC businesses join me in the store so that they can have a chance to sell their products in person.
Mm. And what kind of products are they selling?
So it depends on the day. So sometimes it can be waist beads. Sometimes it's t-shirts. There's a clothing boutique that I work with. There are other skincare professionals that have you know, their products that they want to sell. Mm. I don't really discriminate. All I want is it to give opportunity to a BIPOC business that doesn't have the opportunity to sell in person.
Right. And how has Portland received your product and concept?
Very well. It has been amazing, the amount of support that I get from my community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very outgoing, community-oriented person anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really natural for me to be involved in my community. I'm a yoga teacher, so I'm always, you know, teaching yoga. I'm always out in the community. I'm always doing something in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a natural progression to have a product to also be able to connect with my community.
Yeah.
It was just really natural. And I really love the feedback that I get. I have over 240 five-star reviews of my products, and like how people say that they've searched for something and they couldn't find it, and my product was the only thing that helped. And it just makes me feel good because it makes me feel like I'm making a difference in my community.
That's great.
And just the fact too that they get to support, you know, domestic violence survivors through this work, through this product, is even better. It's like, I feel good about purchasing this because I know that it's going to help people.
Mm. So is Helen Rose a nonprofit?
So Helen Rose is a for-profit business, and there's a portion from every sale of any product that I donate directly to Om Thrive.
Okay.
And that is a nonprofit organization. But I definitely use my platform with Helen Rose to advocate for BIPOC businesses in Portland because it's hard out here.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I was actually going to ask about a composition of the population of Portland in
Portland,
particular. Yeah,
it's 3% Black.
Right. So
3%.
Really tiny minority.
3%.
Yeah.
And so we that community, we all kind of know each other. If you grew up here, you know a lot of the Black community, and we try to uplift each other. But just breaking into the mainstream business world is difficult if you don't already have an ally. So I'm trying to, and I've worked corporate jobs for the majority of my life, so I have a lot of allies. So
right.
That's why I'm trying to create allies for other people in my community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is Shades and Layers, and today I'm in conversation with Dave Bibb, the founder of the natural skincare brand Helen Rose. It is very clear that Day is firmly rooted in her community, and she not only leans on people she knows personally for support, but she is also very much about paying it forward. For example, in this next part of the conversation, you will hear how she truly speaks from the heart when she says that yoga saved her life, and how that now drives her to share its benefits with others. We also discussed the different ways in which you can raise funding for your startup, and finding the money is where we start this next part of Shades and Layers. So how did you get started? Were you self-funded? Did you raise a round of financing? Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Yes. So that's the thing. So at first I was just using my paychecks. So I had a full-time
job. We like those things, yeah.
I had a full-time job and I'm coming home at night and I'm blending that butter and I'm writing business plans and I'm raising my kids and doing all the things.
Exciting.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's, and then COVID happened. So I lost my job. And I didn't have a plan B because I did not know that that was going to happen.
Right, exactly.
So I just decided that I was going to do this full time. So I ended up doing, I hired a business coach and that was through iFundWomen. And I ended up doing a crowdfunding campaign. And through that first initial crowdfunding campaign, I raised $18,000.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of that, I won a grant through American Express. They did a 100 Black Women Entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So it was the 100 for 100 grant program. And I won a $25,000 grant through that. Mm-hmm. And so that is how I was able to make it through and really elevate my product line and create the, you know, the labeling. And that's how I was able to raise the capital to do all what I did and to open the shop.
How did your pitch go?
The pitch, it was really good because I had a community through my yoga. And so it was difficult, but it was rewarding. So right now I'm actually doing a second crowdfunding campaign right now too, because I'm my goal is to pitch to Target this fall. And so what I would tell people, like if you're going to do a crowdfunding campaign, is to be very intentional about how you make the ask. So if you're asking for money from your supporters, your group of advocates, that say you have this group of supporters, you have 1,000 people that you know, and you're asking for $10,000, be very intentional about what you are going to do with that $10,000. And that's how you can be successful in it.
Right.
And it's hard sometimes to ask people for money because it feels like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. But one of the things that my business coach told me was 99% of Black female-led organizations try to self-fund, but we don't have to. We just feel like we have to. And so we should be asking for support. And we don't always have to get loans, even though loans are not a bad thing. I mean, you can get a loan and be very successful with getting a business loan. We should at least try to reach out to our community and say, look, I have this idea. I have this need. This is what I can do for my community. This is what your contribution to this campaign is going to do to help me and the community. And people are very receptive to that. It's that skill of being able to tell people how their contribution is going to make a difference.
Yeah. And I suppose you give feedback to your funders.
Yeah. So the way that we do the campaigns is they purchase reward through the campaign. And so it's almost like getting a bunch of pre-orders for your product that you haven't made yet.
Right.
And throughout the campaign, I give feedback to them. And through this process that I'm doing, I'm even having them vote on the labels and how they look. And like, so they're involved in the process as we go. So it's not, you know, like it's really fun for on both sides.
It's a meaningful contribution.
Right. So like as they donate or as they purchase a reward, then I keep getting, like even last night, I showed the second round of mock-ups that I'm doing for my labeling. And people were like, oh my gosh, it looks so beautiful. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing a poll. So let me know if I'm on the right track or let me know if you feel like I should tweak something. So people feel involved in the process. And it really makes a difference in just simply asking for money or allowing people to be a part of your growth.
And it's great, you know, when you're building something to know that you're not alone, right?
Yeah, it's really encouraging because sometimes it gets discouraging sometimes, especially if you feel like you've set out a plan and goals and you should be at a certain place and then you're not there when you feel like you should be there or you're not hitting the goal where you feel like you should have hit it. It's really encouraging. I feel like my connection with my community is just as important as any monetary value. because a lot of times I will post something and people will give me personal messages and feedback and encouragement that keep me going because I know that my community believes in me.
Yeah.
I know they believe in me. And so it makes me want to keep going. It makes me not want to quit, even when things get really, really rough and hard and I don't know what the next step is. That connection with my community keeps me going. I know people believe in me.
Yeah.
No, and I know people want to see me succeed. I know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting that also the support comes at a very difficult time. Of course, a lot of small businesses have been affected by COVID-19. How have you navigated launching a business and, you know, surviving the storm?
So I'm very serious about like COVID precautions and things in my store. So even when we did the launch, I made sure we only had 10 people in the store at a time. We all had to wear masks. It was, you know, we sanitized everything. So just reassuring the community that I'm serious about their health and I want to make sure that everyone stays healthy was really successful for me. But also being in tune with how to serve your community through alternatives. Mm-hmm. So when people want to, if someone does not want to come to the store, they can purchase online and do a contactless pickup, or they can purchase online. And a lot of times through COVID, while people were purchasing online, I would create free shipping opportunities for them. So to encourage people to buy, because, you know, a lot of people need to shop online because they can't come in to the stores. So I have a rewards program to where if you purchase a certain amount of things and you collect your rewards, then you can redeem for free shipping or you can redeem it for, you know, other rewards that you want. So just being able to navigate like alternatives so that you can create, so keep to keep your sales going and to keep people engaged with things. And, I mean, even doing like an online, I did a lot of like Instagram lives,
right,
where we just talked about the product because people have questions and they don't have time to talk to me all the time. So let's just do it Instagram live and have people submit questions.
Right. What has it meant to you, you know, to, or how do you think it's going to shape your business to have launched through this particular period during COVID?
How do I think it's going to affect it like moving forward?
Yeah, because I mean, it's an interesting time to start a business and obviously it shapes your foundation. You know, has it been an advantage, do you think, to start your business during this period? Or is it something you can't wait to get over in order to operate as a normal, or I do that in quotes, a normal business would?
I think it's been an advantage because I don't know what it was before. So I'm not like, I don't have like this ideal that I'm holding on to of like, oh, I wish it could go back to such and such, because I didn't have a business before
that. Right.
So I definitely feel like it's an advantage because everything that we've had to do during COVID, that's how I've had to run my business anyway. Mm-hmm. I've always had to have contactless pickup. I've always had to have a robust online presence. I've always had to have a social media presence. And so with that, those things being said, like I really feel like it's an advantage because I didn't have to pivot. I just had to learn.
Yeah.
And so a lot of businesses had a specific way of doing things. So like, for example, I'm in the yoga community and it was very difficult to pivot to an online presence in the yoga community. So I definitely feel like if starting out with the COVID restrictions is an advantage. Moving forward, I feel like we should just keep building on what we've created. So if that's a hybrid model of having of what I'm doing now and having, you know, the store versus and also the online, but online's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
So
we're all so used to clicking that mouse, pressing that buy.
So I think my next step is making it easier and more efficient for my customers to purchase from me online.
Yeah, perfect.
My next step is making sure that they receive their packages in a timely manner. Because right now it's just me. So sometimes it can be 7 days.
Yep.
So I'm competing with Amazon.
Yeah.
So now I need to be able to make sure that.
Yeah.
So that's my next step. That's my next goal.
Right. Why is your brand called Helen Rose?
It's named after my mom. My mom passed away in 2019. Mm. And that's right when I was starting the business. I wasn't really selling stuff yet, but I was already blending and I was making stuff for my friends and things. Right. And I didn't know what I wanted to name the company yet, but I wanted to name it something meaningful. And so I was going through names and things with my friend, and she was like, who inspires you? And I was like, my mom. She always inspired me. She always was the type of person who, if we had nothing, she would figure out a way to make for us to eat. She would figure out a way for us to have a home. She would sew things, clothes. She would create things out of nothing. And I don't even know if she knew how much we appreciated her for that. And so she would say, what's her name? And I said, my mom's name was Helen Rose. And she was like, that's perfect. And I'm like,
yeah.
She was like, yeah, that's a perfect name.
Don't look any further. Yeah.
Right. She was like, that was her real name.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. And so then right after that, I started designing the logo and I did the font of the logo. It looks almost exactly like her handwriting.
Love you.
And that's why I created that font that.
Fantastic. Yeah. So let's talk about your other organizations, Om Thrive, and you also teach yoga. First, let's start with how did you come to yoga?
I came to yoga through, I was in my marriage, and I was being abused in my marriage, and I was having very acute manifestations of that trauma. Mm-hmm. So I was having terrible back spasms, and I was suffering from depression, which I already suffered from depression, but it got even worse through that time. I was having insomnia and just not doing well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the doctor for the back spasms, and they suggested that I get a cortisone shot in my back.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, I'm like 32 at the time. So I was like, and I had already gotten a cortisone shot before for a carpal tunnel, and I'm allergic to cortisone.
Oh,
so it took my pigment that was in my arms, and I looked like I had vitiligo for like 2 years. I was like, no cortisone shots. We're not doing that. And so then the doctor said, well, if you don't want to do that, and I can't take pain medication because I'm allergic to opiates.
Mm.
So he said, you can try to strengthen your back muscles either through physical therapy or yoga or a combination of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at that doctor like, why wouldn't you have said that first? Why would you jump straight to the cortisone shot?
Yeah.
Like, what? So I started going to yoga at 5:30 in the morning because at the time I was married, we had 4 children, and I worked full time, and I did not have time to go any other time of day.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up at 5 a.m. every morning, and I did 90 minutes of yoga at Bikram Yoga, St. John.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I chose that one is because it's really good. It's hot.
Hot yoga.
Mm-hmm. And it's really good for your joints and your fascia and things like that. And it was basically the only one that I could go to like that early in the morning.
Mm.
So 90 minutes a day, 90 minutes a day, I went about 3 times a week, and it was so hard, but it was so empowering. Because you're doing this incredibly difficult thing for a long time. 90 minutes
90
is a long
is
time.
Wild.
Back.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting on my mat one day and being drenched in sweat and just totally spent and exhausted and just being like, I am strong. I don't deserve to be abused.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what am I doing? And even after that, it took me a long time to leave.
Mm.
But as I continued to practice, I just got mentally stronger. And I also found a community of people who didn't know anything about what I was going through. And it was very refreshing.
Mm.
It was refreshing to go there and just get on that mat and go and do the yoga. I could just be who I am and not be like the abused lady, you know?
Yeah.
It was just really nice. And so I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting to find strength on that mat. I was expecting to, you know, like stretch out, get flexible, and get strong. I had no idea that
right.
It was going to be the catalyst that finally made me leave that situation.
Mm.
I swear to God, yoga changed my life.
Yeah.
it changed how I look at things. It changed how much effort I put into things. And it exposed the things that I will not put effort into because I just don't feel like it.
Right. Exactly. Life's too short, man.
So I was like, wow. And I wanted to share that with people because it's so expensive. Well, at that time. So this is like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yoga's like $100 a month. I'm like, who is something there? Like, who is this for?
Yeah.
Like, who can afford this? And so that was what made me start the organization, was just the fact that I felt like the people who needed healing the most did not have access to it.
So do you teach hot yoga now, or you found another style?
So I practice vinyasa hot, but it's still hot yoga.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
That's just my preference.
It's a thing.
That's just my preference. But I teach kids yoga. So one of the things that was very, when we first started the organization and we started going into shelters and teaching, there were not very many activities for children that were specifically for healing. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of activities for like, oh, they can get on the computer or they can do this. But for actually addressing their trauma, there weren't any. And when you go into a domestic violence shelter, the kids outnumber the adults 4-1.
Of course.
So I was like, I need to do something about this with these kids.
Yeah.
So that's what my passion is, to teach kids yoga. So I really focus on that. But my staff, we teach yin yoga classes weekly. Mm-hmm. And then we have vinyasa classes, which is the flow, like a vinyasa flow.
Yep.
So, but yin is really good for addressing trauma because a lot of our trauma resides in our joints and our fascia.
I always end up crying in a yin class.
So yeah, we have yin classes and usually when I teach vinyasa or I teach imagination yoga, which is a kid's style of yoga where you're imagining yourself through yoga poses, these adventures.
Oh, cool.
And it's really healing for kids because they don't even know that they're addressing their trauma.
It's Shades and Layers with my guest, Day Bibb, founder of Hell and Rose Skincare in Portland, Oregon. It's time to get personal now and find out how Day became the woman that she is today. Our inroad into that conversation is the work that she does with domestic abuse survivors through the Om Thrive Foundation.
So before COVID, we would actually teach in domestic violence emergency shelters. I didn't want to just have the yoga classes available. I wanted to actually go to who I was trying to serve and say, like, this is what helped me. Not only did it help me leave, but it helped me to not return. And it also helped change my life. And then also I would, like, say if someone was not in an emergency shelter, but they just wanted yoga or needed a class or had a community and they couldn't afford to pay for it, I would just negotiate with the yoga studio and we would just pay for their classes. Because one of the things that I wanted to avoid was having to have people come to me, because a lot of times when people are either actively fleeing or want to flee, they don't have choice. They can't go where they want to go. They don't even have the choice over their own. Like, I didn't have any power over even my own body. So when I wanted people to have a choice, so I'm not going to tell you what yoga studio that I want you to go to. You get to pick what studio works for you.
Right.
And then I will pay for your classes. So what we would do is I would do an intake. We would find a yoga studio that worked with their situation. So either it would be in their neighborhood or where they work, like close to where they work. And I didn't want them to have to identify as a DV survivor. I would contact the studio on their behalf and then pay for their classes so that they could just attend the classes as if they were any other student.
Yeah. Wow. That's so really important, impactful work.
Thank you. So now we went completely virtual.
Right.
So we have virtual classes now. So right now, just focusing on the virtual platform, and eventually we'll get back into the emergency shelters.
Right.
But I just want to make sure that we're doing things safely and everything makes sense.
So you're very busy.
Yes. I'm
How
very busy.
Do you balance the demands on each and everything you do?
um, I am naturally an active person. I think that that's just part of my personality, is just like, I like to be active. One of the things that works for me is I include my kids in a lot of the work that I do.
Right.
So them being included in it takes a lot of the burden of me having to find things for them to do, because they're always with me.
Yeah. Very, very great strategy.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to go to the shop right now and go make a bunch of products. But they love it. I mean, they love it. So it's fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, the real answer to that is I don't. Sometimes I just have to let things go and I just don't finish it. to be realistic, you know, there are times when I'm just I'm tired and I'm just going to just have to let that go. And that was hard for me at first. But just being organized is incredibly important, and leaning into your support system so that people know when you're struggling is incredibly important.
Yeah.
So I have a very tight-knit group of teachers and friends that I talk to every day. And if something's going wrong, I just say it's going wrong. Creating a support system, and not only, you know, using your support system, but being a support system for other people, it just creates a nice balance for me.
So what drives you to do the things that you do?
Injustice has always been something that I just cannot handle. I cannot handle an injustice or just sit back and watch an injustice happen. I grew up in Portland, a predominantly white city, as a Black, dark-skinned, chubby girl. And I was always marginalized. And I was a very smart girl. I was in this, of all the talented and gifted programs, I skipped a grade. So from every aspect of my life, I was different. Religiously, I was different. I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. So I was ostracized for that. I was dark skinned, so I was ostracized for that. I went to a white school for a while. So then when I came back to the Black neighborhood and went to a Black school, I talked too white. So I was ostracized for that. I was too chubby. I was ostracized. It was just from every angle, I was all either made fun of or excluded or something. And so and when I witness an injustice, it takes me back to those feelings of my own injustices being performed against me. And I don't like that. And it makes me act. And so that's what drives me, is just those feelings. I know how it feels to be abused. I know how it feels to be excluded. I know how it feels to be discriminated against. I know how it feels to be have taken things taken from me, and it doesn't feel good. And I don't want anybody to have to feel that way.
Yeah, got it. So how would your children describe you?
Probably crazy and funny, and just they always be like, "Mom, you're the." They always say I'm a cool mom because I like to dance and sing and hang out with them and stuff. And I don't know, they just they would definitely. They go with me everywhere, so they would be, you know, they're my friends. They probably describe me as their friends.
Yay!
They did say one thing I would never forget. We would add a DV shelter one time, and they would, while I would be up teaching with the adults, they would go and hang out with the kids at the shelters. And one time we were done with our class, and they said, "Mom, you're a superhero and we're your sidekicks." And I was like, "Oh,
that is so sweet."
I know. I was like, oh, that makes me feel so. Yeah, I really try to include them in everything.
Fantastic. So if you had to write a memoir, what would it be called and why?
Oh, Lord, that's a good question.
Gotcha.
Right. It would be called Don't Ever Tell Her No.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I can see that.
You tell me no, that's the best thing you can ever say to me is no, because I'm going to do it. Now I'm really going to do it.
Oh, really? Watch me.
Oh, what'd you say? I can't. Oh, okay. Let me show you.
That's great. I think that's it from me. Cool. How can people get hold of you and where can they buy Helen Rose Skincare?
Okay, so you can get a hold of me on Facebook at Helen Rose Skincare, Instagram, Helen Rose Skincare, on Twitter at Helen Rose Skin, because Twitter has a limit on how many characters that you could use. on my website at HelenRoseCo.com. And then also in Portland, I have my store on 212 Southeast Alder. So if anybody's listening to and wants to come swing by and visit and pop up on me, Home Thrive is homethrive.org. And there is a schedule of classes on there. They are $1 for donations, or you can pay whatever you want and join us in class.
Thank you, Dave Bibb, for sharing your story. It was a pleasure to have you on Shades and Layers. Thanks also to you for listening to this conversation. If you like what you heard, please share with friends and family and hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. I'm Kutluanus Kosana Richie. Until next time, please do take good care.